Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't want to necessarily kick on the afterburners just yet, because we do still have three more hours of the most electric sports talk radio you're going to hear anywhere today. I don't want to burn up all the gas on lap four of a 500 miler. But it's kind of difficult not to today, because this football offseason, as Lonzo pointed out accurately earlier this week, this football season has both gone by in the blink of an eye and also taken 200 years. I don't know how those two feelings are simultaneous, but they are. It feels like the Super Bowl was two centuries ago, and yet also at the same time, 2 days ago. It has been a long offseason. Now, you know, I like to say there's no offseason on the Rob Brown Show, because when we come out of football, we roll into basketball. As we approach the end of basketball, we're well into baseball. We've got hockey. We've got WNBA. We've got soccer. And the Rob, we've got UFC and boxing year-round. The Rob Brown Show is in every sports show. But we all know where the old bread and butter get made. It's on the gridiron. It's goal line to goal line, sideline to sideline. This football offseason is officially over, people. Because in 12 hours and 58 minutes... two football teams are going to line up across from each other in Canton, Ohio. Well, two football teams with a lot of dudes who are going to be playing for their lives. And a good chunk of those dudes who will not be on a football team in 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks from now. And while that is just kind of a sad reality of the business, to me, it also makes for some damn good sports watching on a Thursday night. The Chargers of Los Angeles, California, and the Lions of Detroit, Michigan will get it on this evening in the NFL's Hall of Fame game. It is the only NFL preseason game of this week, as it holds a special place of designation on the league calendar. And it is all that you will get to hold you over until exactly 7 days later. It's not really true. It's more like 6 days and 20 hours later, when we get next week a full slate of NFL preseason games, 16 of them over the course of 4 days. But it's enough for now, man. It's like walking into the steakhouse. And you know you're going to your favorite steakhouse tonight, so you don't eat anything all day, because you want to go in there with an appetite, because you know that that prime rib, that filet mignon, they cook it perfectly, man. They get the real good, like the real good crispy on the outside. It holds that sear on the outside. It holds all the juices in there. Then they cook it to that perfect medium rare and not a second longer temperature. And you're going to get that big, fat, juicy baked potato with all the fixings, the sour cream, the chives, the little bacon crumbles in it. You're going to get that favorite side of yours, whatever it is. There's no wrong answer. But when you get down to that restaurant and you sit down and you pull out the chair and you sit down and you take the napkin and you open it up and you put it across your lap, and the waiter comes out and says, "What would you like, sir?" And you say, "I want that filet mignon. I want that prime rib." And he goes, "Great. How do you want that cooked? I'd like it medium rare and not a second longer. And I'd like that big old fat baked potato. And I'd like that side that I love oh so much. And he goes, great, what dressing would you like on your house salad? Most days, you'd go, who in the hell cares about a house salad? Get me my gosh darn steak and potato. But you also know that you're hungry. You haven't eaten in a minute. And you know that when he comes and he sets that plate, that bowl, whatever you get your salad on, and he takes that very silver, fancy dressing container. They don't walk over there and put a squirt bottle down on the table. No, he comes over with that little pewter container. What do they call it?
Pewter is such a good word.
It's pewter. That's the fancy. We're not talking no stainless steel here. We're talking pewter. He comes over with that. I don't remember what it's called. Like a gravy boat, but it's more of a bottle for, you know what I'm talking about. And he pours your favorite dressing over the top. Maybe you're a vinaigrette guy. Maybe you're a balsamic guy. Maybe you're an Italian guy. Maybe you're just classic old Americana. Give me a big old heaping help and a fatty ass ranch dressing. I'm not here to judge. That's my choice. Fire away. And he pours it over that salad and you're like, I still want that steak. But you take that first bite, man, it's just the best thing. It's a palate. It's a palate holder. It's just a little something to get you, put on a tee, get you ready for that main course, for that. It wakens up the taste buds. It gets the taste buds really ready to roll, really ready to fire here in a minute when the main course hits the table. That's tonight. Tonight we get that house salad. And I know it's not what we're waiting for. It's not what we're looking for. It's not the main course. But it's gonna wake you up a little bit. It's going to get the brain going. It's football season. It's time. Put the ball on the tee. Tighten up the boots. Snap the chin strap. Buckle down the shoulder pads. Blow the whistle. Kick the ball. Let's watch some football. That's tonight. We made it. That's it. We're here. And all I have to say to that is, hell yeah, brother. We did it. We did it. All right. You know where else we've made it? We've made it to the 7 o'clock hour of the show, the opening segment of the 7 o'clock hour of the show. Hey, I know what today is for you. Today's the day where you got to go to work and you've got to pretend for 8 hours or however long you're stuck in the office. You've got to pretend like you give a good gosh darn about anything other than making it tonight. Maybe calling in, getting your favorite chicken wings, Uber Eats to your house. Maybe you're going to fire up the old Blackstone and throw that steak down on it, maybe. Maybe you're trying to drop the LBs and you're just going to have yourself a nice little healthy snack. It doesn't matter what you're going to feast on this evening. You got to pretend like you care about anything other than making it to 8 o'clock tonight. And watching a little football with Rob Brown and the great Milonzo and the rest of your fellow Americans. The problem is, you do have to go to the office for those 8 hours. And if you got to go to that office for those eight hours, I know what you're going to do. You're going to distract yourself with everything you can to kill a little bit of time to get you in and out at 5 p.m. so you can go home and get set up for that 8 kick, which means a large portion of those 8 hours are going to be spent talking sports. And if that's the case, my dudes and dudettes, you need this. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's gonna be most of y'all about 4:30 p.m. today, I imagine. You're going to look around and you're going to go, I'm not getting anything else done today. No. I got to figure out what we're eating tonight, what we're drinking tonight, and who's getting what seat on the couch.
It'll be us somewhere around 11 a.m. possibly.
Yeah, I'd say that's about right. We get done. I make my little social media video. I pop in our advertisements for the day, and I am TF up out of here. I'm heading to the house because there's 100% a siesta in play for two reasons. Number one, your boy's tired. He slept like crap last night. Number two, every hour that I'm asleep during the day is an hour I don't have to wait for tonight. Yes, I am that excited. Let's jump right in. It's item number one. Major League Baseball's trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. What a bad day to pick for baseball to have the trade deadline. This is a day you would get a lot of news and notes out of Major League Baseball as teams have just a handful of hours remaining between here and that 4 p.m. deadline to shore up the roster, to make the moves they need to make, either to send some guys away and get some prospects in for the future, or to send some prospects away and get some guys for the now. Some moves are getting made at the last minute. We do know that yesterday, one of the bigger moves that got made, the Diamondbacks have officially traded Eugenio Suarez to the manager, or to the managers, to the Mariners, to the managers.
Can you trade managers?
I friggin' wish. Appreciate all you did, Snit, but good Lord, am I over it. Okay, Eugenio Suarez traded from the Diamondbacks to the Mariners. We kind of figured out about a week ago when they started moving some lesser pieces that the Diamondbacks were saying, all right, all the old guys got to go. We're bringing in prospects to build around Corbin Carroll and the rest of these guys. Eugenio Suarez was the big piece. Now, there is still the possibility that Zach Gallen and Merrill Kelly, a couple of frontline starters, could be on their way out. We will find out. Teams like the Yankees, Astros, Red Sox, Cubs, Blue Jays, all in the mix to grab another starter. And those two cats are at this point on that list. But at the same time, it's kind of like if you get the right return, otherwise keep them. Let them be anchors for the next 1 or 2 years while you develop the next class. We'll find out. Eugenio Suarez headed from Arizona to Seattle. Cincinnati has made a move in a three-team trade that also involved the Dodgers and the Rays. They get righty Zach Little from the Rays. A lot of prospects circling there, but the Reds get their frontline guy. This is a team that wants to contend in their division. The Astros acquiring infielder Ramon Urias from the Baltimore Orioles. The Orioles obviously sellers as they are having, I think, maybe a more disappointing year from the Braves, but like they're 1-2 at the most. The Cubs have acquired former Atlanta Brave Michael Soroka from the Nationals. The Mets have been a big player in the reliever market. They finished a deal to acquire all-star closer Ryan Helsley from the St. Louis Cardinals. They send Jesus Baez and Nate Dolman, Frank Elsott over to the Cardinals for him. Johan Duran is on his way from the Twins to the Phillies. That's an all-star pickup for Philadelphia. The Mariners made another move yesterday, got Caleb Ferguson from the Pirates. We also know that the Mets got Tyler Rogers from the Giants. The Reds have gotten Ke'Bryan Hayes from the Pittsburgh Pirates in exchange for Taylor Rogers and some prospects. The Bravos did make a move yesterday. They got Tyler Kinley up out of Colorado in exchange for a minor league prospect. Don't get excited, Braves fans. It's like a 3.58 ERA. He's fine. It's just somebody to start games while you tank the rest of the year. Austin Slater, an outfielder, headed to the New York Yankees. And Sir Anthony Dominguez from the Orioles headed to Toronto. That's some of the moves that got made yesterday. We will keep an eye on what else happens the rest of the day. As again, the trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Let's get to item number two. The results of the media poll that was taken last week at the ACC Media Days has been dropped. The media poll selected, this may shock exactly and precisely none of you, the Clemson Tigers as runaway favorites to repeat as ACC champions. There were over 180 ballots turned in, including mine, over 165 of them, 167. I don't know why I said over 165, like 167 isn't a shorter thing to say. 167 of the 180 plus ballots did select the Clemson Tigers to repeat as champions. Amongst the other teams who got votes, you want to talk about a split? Clemson got 167 first place votes. Miami got 7. Florida State got 4. SMU and Georgia Tech got 2. Virginia Tech got 1. Clemson led all teams with 3,083 points. Miami's 2,679 was second. SMU was 2,612 in third. Georgia Tech selected 4th by the media ahead of Louisville in 5th. Duke picked 6th ahead of Florida State, 7th. North Carolina 8th. Pitt 9th, NC State 10th, Virginia Tech 11th, Syracuse in 12th, rounding out the ACC, Boston College, Virginia, Cal, Wake Forest, and Stanford in dead last. There's the results of your ACC media poll that was dropped yesterday. Let's sprint through item number 3. I've kind of been up and down on this all day. I've kind of been circling around on where we go with item number 3. But I think this has got to be the answer. And we are going to talk about this. Because I don't know if it is true, how trustworthy it is. I will say it is being reported by some reputable sites. Yahoo Sports is reporting this. Front Office Sports, who has been, honestly, really good about reporting on the business side of high-end American sports. Both of them, among some others, put up a report yesterday evening, like late last night. There was a post that went up on Instagram from a cat by the name of Misko, and it's a Serbian last name. I'm going to do my best. Raznatovic. I think I got that correct.
Sounds good.
Misko Raznatovic. That guy is connected to the agent of Nikola Jokic. The post that went up was of a couple of cats sitting on a yacht somewhere in Europe. One of the cats was Maverick Carter. Maverick Carter used to play for the Lakers. Now he's kind of a business guy who is connected to Misko Raznatovic. Oh, did I mention that Raznatovic is the agent of Nikola Jokic? Sorry, should have brought that up. He's not connected to him. That's him. With Maverick Carter and LeBron James. Now, that's not a huge deal. Maverick Carter is kind of a former NBA player turned entrepreneur. This is a big name agent. LeBron James is there.
Remember, was it a banana boat or what? All those players were on at once. I mean, that was considered a big deal. Rich people vacation where rich people vacation.
Yeah, exactly right. Shouldn't be a big deal. It's not a big deal. Oh, except for multiple reports that Carter and LeBron James were out there trying to seek $5 billion because they want to set up an international professional basketball league that would play games around the globe and be direct competition with the NBA. How direct? According to reports, and again, this is the point of the story. First part, I absolutely believe. I absolutely believe that. The second part is where I'm going to say a little bit of grain of salt, like a little grain of salt, but I'm still interested in hearing more reports and finding out some details. Apparently, the league would do its best to try to lure some of the world's top players with not just big-time salaries, but also equity in the league, direct equity. That is to say, if the league does better, you will all get a revenue share, which is not something the NBA, the MLB, the NFL do. They say you negotiate your salary. Y'all can argue for guaranteed money and blah, 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 but you don't get a portion of the league revenue. They would, which is entice. Remember, that is what enticed so many of the big names on the PGA to jump to the LIV Tour.
Is the LIV Tour of basketball? Or
that
is
exactly right.
Or is it the World Globetrotters?
It is not. It is apparently, according to the reports, it is apparently an actual league. Now, whether they would partner up with other already established global leagues or not, unknown. What is being reported right now is that the league would want exclusive rights to players. Unlike the big three league that's out there right now for women's basketball, where players like Angel Reese and Caitlin Clark and Breanna Stewart can play in this 3-on-3 league, but they can also play in the WNBA. If this league gets propped up by LeBron James, Maverick Carter, and Nikola Jokic's agent, and if it becomes a thing, they would want exclusive rights to players. That is to say, if Nikola Jokic went, wait a minute, I can play for a pro team that's based in Serbia, I can play half my games in Serbia and travel the rest of the world for the rest of the games, and I get equity in how well the league does, and I'm the most famous player on the planet right now, yeah, I'm going to jump over. Nikola Jokic would no longer be an NBA player. This is, I am going to say, though, in my opinion, and we'll talk about this more coming up in a minute, this is, if it's true, a bigger threat to the NBA than the LIV Tour was to the PGA. It's a bigger threat to the NBA than USFL, USL, FLU, XFL, XFUF, whatever, than any of the spring leagues have ever been to the NFL. It's a bigger threat than the Savannah Bananas are to MLB. This is, in my opinion, if it's true, the biggest threat to any major American professional sports league that has ever existed. We'll talk more about it next because I do think it's a huge deal on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Next segment, stick around, college football fans. This one's a short one, so I'm going to do this very quickly. And we'll talk about the ACC media poll dropping yesterday when we come back in the next segment of the show. But I want to get back very briefly to this LeBron James thing for just a minute. An Instagram post went up that contained LeBron James and Misko Raznatovic, I think I got that right, who is the agent for Nikola Jokic. It's a picture of LeBron, his business partner, Maverick Carter, and Raznatovic all vacationing together, I believe in Europe. In fact, I know it is. It's in Saint-Tropez, France. All hanging out on a, I'm assuming it's a yacht. They're out on the water. It's a boat, but it's big and it's got a lot of space. So I'm going to assume it's a boat. A yacht, sorry. There's a difference. You know it's a yacht when you look at it and you go, damn, that's a yacht. Looks like a yacht. So.
Checks out.
There was a lot of speculation after this Instagram posted on Saturday. And obviously, the initial discussion was, well, if Bron's hanging out with Nikola Jokic's agent, does this mean that Nikola Jokic might leave Denver to go to L.A. to be the big man there and play alongside Luka and Bron? Or the other way around, could this mean that LeBron, who is, as has been mentioned by many people many times over the past month, not the A star in Los Angeles anymore, could he be going, all right, cool, I'm out, and go to Denver to play with Nikola Jokic? That was the speculation, and it's all well and good. Turns out, it might be bigger than either one of those two stories. Reports from Front Office Sports and Yahoo Sports has followed along with this. And let's be clear, this might all be garbage. This might all just be a rumor that's gotten out of control. But Front Office Sports, over the last couple of years, has really kind of established itself as a pretty credible journalistic output in regards to the business side of sports. Front Office Sports reported that the group is discussing a new international basketball league being spearheaded by Maverick Carter and backed by LeBron James. Bloomberg reported back in January that Carter was advising a group of investors seeking to raise $5 billion for an international league they believe could rival the NBA. Now, that story didn't really grow legs at the time. I do remember bringing it up ever so briefly on the show, but it didn't really grow legs. And it didn't grow legs because for the response from most people was, who the hell is Maverick Carter and why should I care? Well, turns out Maverick Carter is the business partner in a lot of outfits of LeBron James. Even that, a few months ago did not really register, because it's not going to register until we know LeBron's in on it. They're business partners on a lot of projects, but not every project that they're involved in. Now we know LeBron apparently is involved. Per the Financial Times, investors in the league who have already either committed or expressed verbal interest in it are the Singaporean government, a Macau casino operator, and the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund. Now, the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund has been discussed a lot of times over the past few years. Why? Because the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund has invested billions, with a B, into a number of sports over the years. In soccer, they have propped up a Saudi Arabian league that has been sniping some of the best players on planet Earth away from Bundesliga, Premier League, La Liga, Serie A, the biggest soccer leagues on the planet. Cristiano Ronaldo has spent the last couple of years playing in the Saudi Arabian league. Why? Because the Saudi Wealth Fund has invested and given them the money to pay guys like Ronaldo. The Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund is the backer of the LIV Tour, an outfit that has threatened the PGA to the point that the PGA is now trying to strike some sort of deal slash compromise with them to end the competition. The Saudi Arabian Wealth Fund is the reason that the WWE is not just running pay-per-views, premium live events in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. They have put so much money into that company that reportedly, and I don't know if it's been officially confirmed, Zoe, you might know better than I, reportedly, the Royal Rumble, one of the big four, will be either next year or the year after, taking place in Saudi Arabia. That's mucho dinero.
I think it's next year.
So the amount of money that they have put on the table has backed the LIV Tour to a point that they've threatened the PGA Tour.
It is next year.
Next year.
Yeah.
They have backed the PGA into a corner to a point that the PGA has had to negotiate. They have backed the Saudi Arabian Soccer League into a spot where they're getting some of the biggest names on planet Earth in the footballing world. And they have put so much money into professional wrestling that one of WWE's biggest prime events is going to Saudi Arabia. And instead of taking place on a Saturday night, where most Americans are going to watch it, in Saudi Arabia, the Royal Rumble is going to be at noon on a Saturday. That's wild. That's how much money they put in. So if they're in, money is no longer an issue. $5 billion to the Saudi Arabian Sovereign Wealth Fund is nothing. And the controversial political take, I don't think it's controversial, or at least it shouldn't be. But the controversial political take is Saudi Arabia is investing billions upon billions of dollars into sports to kind of whitewash what's happening in that country, which is gross and not okay. And to some degree, it has worked. So, LeBron is apparently, reportedly, in on this. And the concept of the league would be that, to start, there would be six men's teams and six women's teams that would tour across eight host cities around the world. Where it gets interesting is that this league would reportedly not just pay basketball players salaries that are comparable to the NBA, but it would give them a benefit that the NBA does not. That is equity in the new league. The equity portion, meaning that if you sign up and if you play, as this league grows financially, you will get a portion of its increased revenue year after year. Which means that if they get a bunch of guys who are like second-tier NBA guys, like good players, maybe not great, maybe not top-line players, and the league just makes a little bit of money, those guys all get a little bit of money. But if the biggest names in basketball were to move over, if Nikola Jokic played in this league, I mean, just think about the European players. If Luka Doncic moved over and played in this league, think about some of the biggest American players, because they'll likely have at least one team in the United States. What if LeBron played in this league, even at 41, 42, 43 years old? Going to sell a million tickets. Going to get international fame. If that league was to start showing revenue splits that increase year after year, so would the amount of bonus money those players would get. Which means that if I'm a big-time NBA player, and I go, I'm going to get a comparable salary to the NBA, plus I get X percent, 1%, 2% of increased revenue year after year out of this league. And I know that if I can talk Anthony Edwards into joining the league, an international star, Steph Curry, and I'm not saying these guys would, I'm just using them as hypotheticals. If I can talk those guys into joining the league, what happens? That league becomes more noticeable. It gets more money. The revenue goes up. I get more money. Now, all of a sudden, not only are the players busting it to make as much money for the league as they can because they get a portion, but they start recruiting other NBA players to come over because they would get more money. This, to me, and I mean this, the reason a lot of PGA Tour golfers left the PGA to go to LIV is not because it was like a better brand of golf or they just really want to chug some beers on 18. The reason they went over was huge salaries, guaranteed money, and revenue split of increased profits. We already know that works for a lot of pro athletes because it's already worked on the LIV Tour. If this was to pop up and this was to work internationally, I mean it when I say this. This would be the biggest threat to any major American professional sports league that has ever existed. It is a bigger threat than the UFL, XFL, USFL has ever been to the NFL. It is a bigger threat than any secondary league or Savannah Bananas Fun League has ever been to Major League Baseball. It is a bigger threat than the LIV Tour is to the PGA Tour, and you know how big of a threat they have been the last couple of years. This would be the biggest threat to any American professional outfit ever, and it could be LeBron James. Now, we do not know for sure that LeBron is involved as an investor, as a player, as a backer, or maybe he really was just on vacation with Maverick Carter and Maverick didn't tell him, hey, my other business partner for this is going to be there. That's entirely a possibility. I'm not committing LeBron to this yet, but if LeBron is involved, this is a big threat to the NBA. All right, we'll talk more about that later in the week. When we come back, let's talk about the ACC media poll results that dropped yesterday. I'm Rob. He's Zoe. You are you. And listening to the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring Podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring Podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rob Brown Show, back on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the Grip with Lonzo, and you. The ACC at its media days last week asked myself and everybody else that was there to fill out their preseason ballot, in which we were asked to select our ACC Players of the Year, not Players of the Year, but, you know, all ACC media team. And the one thing that I think most of you care about the most, our ACC projected order of finish. I went this way. I went Clemson 1, SMU 2, Miami 3, Louisville 4, Georgia Tech 5. That's my top five, and honestly, probably all most of you care about. Here is the way the media at large filled it out. Now, there were over 180 ballots filled out. I believe there were 184 ballots that were submitted. Clemson, far and away, the pick to win the ACC. The reason I tell you the overall number is to keep in mind that, like with any survey, you are obviously going to have, you're going to have people who cast dumb votes. And they're going to cast dumb votes for a bunch of reasons. Some of them are going to cast dumb votes so that they can get attention after it's over. They can go, well, I voted Virginia Tech first. And they can get a bunch of attention from people who rage into their rage bait. You are going to have some people that cover certain teams. And whether they have arrived at the conclusion because they fully bought into their team's propaganda extravaganza, and go, no, seriously, I really do think Virginia Tech can win the ACC. I really do think that Florida State, coming off a 2-10 year, can win this conference. What they do get to do is to go back home after media days and to tell their audience, hey, guys, I voted for us because I love your team and I'm here to defend your team. Now, I've told you before, my entire philosophy is, was, has been, will remain since I got here and well before. I shall neither kiss the ass of your team nor kick them in it. I am going to give you every day my honest opinion and take on your team. I'm never going to your bootay in order to hold your attention. If having an honest, neutral, middle of the road opinion on your football team isn't what you're looking for, if you're just looking for somebody to tell you how super duper awesome, amazing your team is all the time, I'm not your guy and this ain't your station. If you're a Clemson guy, there's another station in town that does that. If you're a South Carolina fan, there's a station in Columbia that you can tune into, I'm sure, some way on the internet and hear that. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here to give you an honest, neutral, middle-of-the-road opinion on your team. My honest opinion, neutral, middle-of-the-road thought is Clemson is clearly the best team in the ACC. And the fact that on 184 ballots, 167 of them selected Clemson, I think shows you the disparity. Miami got seven. That is the team that a huge swath of America believes is a legitimate college football playoff team this year. That is the team that a relatively large swath of my media colleagues and comrades believe is a national championship contender this year. They got seven out of whatever, 184 first place votes. Florida State got four, SMU and Georgia Tech got two, Virginia Tech got one. Those are the outliers in our survey, right? Maybe not Miami. Honestly, I heard a lot of people even outside of the Tallahassee stations and pods that were there. I did hear a lot of people at ACC Media Days who had the opinion, whether they were being honest or seeking attention, I don't know, who really said they believe Florida State will bounce back and be a good team this year.
All right. I looked this up because I was curious. For 6 years in a row, Clemson was picked to win the ACC. There's only been 1 year lately when they weren't picked, and that was last year because yep. Florida State was picked. So Clemson.
Oops.
Clemson, what? That was me nearly dying.
No. I'm saying that Florida State was picked last year and they went 2-10.
So Clemson being picked, and I'm not poo-pooing it. I think Clemson's going to win the ACC. I've been saying forever Clemson is the ACC. It's not out of the ordinary to pick Clemson to win the ACC is what I'm saying.
No, of course it's not. And I think this year is different, though. And I think this year is different for a couple of reasons. Number one, the last couple of years, we have entered the football season with this same national media asking a lot of questions about the football program. And I think they've been fair questions. There were a few that were not, and I will call those out when I think they're not fair questions, but a lot of them have been. The questions about Dabo Swinney's philosophical approach to college football, I think have been fair. Very little portal usage. We kind of made the joke for a long time going into last year that there were three teams that did not have a transfer in the offseason. Two of them were military academies, and the other was Clemson. We've questioned the philosophy. We have questioned his, up until recently, his pushback on NIL and players getting paid, et cetera, et cetera. And those questions to me were very fair. And for the record, and this is one of the narrative reasons I'm very interested in Clemson this year, not just because again, I try to be honest and open with you guys. If Clemson goes to the playoffs, and if Clemson wins in the playoffs, and if Clemson goes to and wins a national championship, Robbie B and the great Alonzo, we're going to get a little tick up in the wallet, because we're going to get the opportunity to do stuff. If Clemson goes to a national championship, there is a chance, if nothing else, there's a chance that Robin Zoe could end up with press passes to go to a national championship game. I have not been to a college football national championship game in a very long time. I would love to go to one. If Clemson or South Carolina get into it this year, I'm going. If I got to fly myself to wherever we got to go, I'm going. And through the playoffs, we would have the opportunity maybe to do some remotes, maybe to do some live events, yada, yada, yada. Great, I'm all in. But one of the big narratives, aside from Rob wants some money.
By the way, the 2026 College Football Playoff National Championship game will be held in Hard Rock Stadium in Miami.
Hell yeah, and I get to go to South Beach? Oh, you're damn right. You're damn right. Listen, Rob Brown's a married man. He's out of that part of the game. South Beach is still a dope place to go hang out. Okay? So
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, it's a frat boy's dream.
Because you said a dope place. Is it full of drugs?
I mean, yes, okay. It's South Beach, Miami. But also, it's dope the way the kids use it. It's cool, man. It's hip, bro. It's rockin', dude. Whatever phrase you want to use, that's South Beach. It's great. So
thank you for not using Riz or aura.
Well, that's not what those words mean.
Yeah, no, I know. But okay. You could have tried to work those in.
I could have. I did not. It's a great place to hang out. So blah, 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 I'm in. But I'm interested in Clemson because, and I mean this, especially those of you that have said, oh, you know, I don't like where college football's going. Dabo Swinney has a chance to do something special for you this year. And that something is to prove that an old school college football mentality with just a sprinkle of the new school across the top can work. If Clemson competes this year for a natty, if they win a natty this year, Dabo gets to turn around and metaphorically, because he'd never do it literally, flip the double bird to the haters. Cup of haters, cup of birds for a couple haters. If he wants to. He could maybe roll back a little bit of the runaway train that is the new era of college football. He could say, look, the philosophy of get guys who buy into the culture and want to be here, use the portal exceptionally sparingly, and make sure your guys are taken care of and love being a Tiger. That works. And maybe some college football coaches go, I'm going to buy into that a little bit. I'm going to start adopting the Dabo philosophy to some way. Maybe that helps. I don't know. That's part of the narrative. Part of the narrative is Cade Klubnik. This is a dude who 3 years ago, some of you Clemson fans were calling and texting this very radio program and going, this guy stinks. Get him off the field. And now he's got what? The second shortest odds to win the Heisman Trophy and
he's come a long way since being nothing but a handoff machine.
Exactly the point. Exactly the point. Now all of the sudden, Cade Klubnik's looked at as a Heisman Trophy contender. Now, all of a sudden, he's looked at as a potential first overall NFL draft pick next year. That's where this guy is now. You think I don't want to follow that story? Of course I want to follow that story. I'm very interested in that. The story about the wide receiver room. We had Antonio Williams on the show last week. Great interview. Loved it. We'll run it back at some point as we approach the regular season in just 30 days from today. Is the start of the big week. The story is Dabo figured out the wide receiver room. He's got a unit. He's got some dudes that are ready to roll to bring back the old wide receiver U moniker that Clemson fans wanted to claim for a couple of years now. This year is different because this year, when I was over there in Charlotte, North Carolina, I didn't hear a ton of questions about Clemson. Quite the opposite. I heard a bunch of statements about Clemson. I didn't hear a bunch of conversation about, oh, they don't have this, they don't have that, they need more of this, they need less of that, Dabo this, Dabo that. What I heard was, Dabo's got a squad, boys. Cade's a dude, dudes. Those wide receivers are men, man. I heard a lot of statements, and I heard very few questions. I'm not saying there were none. I'm saying I heard more statements than questions for the first time in the last couple of years. Last couple of years, a lot of questions. Fine, fair, and they've been fair. This year, very few questions, a lot of statements. A lot of proclamations, not a lot of questions. And I think that that's kind of indicative by this poll, by this ACC media poll, that Clemson ran away. It wasn't like, oh, yeah, 100 more. No. 167 people out of the 184 that voted picked Clemson number one. The second team, a team that is considered by the nation to be a playoff contender and to be a championship contender, Miami, 7 first place votes out of 184. That is insane. That's where this team is. So ordinarily, and I did this with SEC Media Days, my take is, take this poll with a grain of salt. It's a lot of dudes sitting in a room together for 3 or 4 days, talking about football, getting opinions, getting thoughts, listening to coaches and players hype themselves, the propaganda extravaganza. Take the poll with a grain of salt, because it's a lot of people having knee-jerk reactions to the last 2, 3, 4 days they've been there. But when you have 184 ballots, 167 say you're the favorite, 7 say the second best team is in the mix, let me make it very clear, Clemson, you are a runaway favorite. The magnifying glass is on you. It's pointed square. Every little detail of your team is going to be picked apart with a fine-tooth comb this season, which means that if you don't get it right, the blowback from that is going to be heavier than it's been the last few years. If you do get it right, right back up there into that Georgia-Alabama level of the conversation. Pressure's on, in my opinion. Pressure's on Lonzo. It doesn't matter. He never cracks. He never breaks. He every time nails the sports flash.
I will take your pressure and prove you right. The Atlanta Braves dropped their series against the Royals 2-1 with a 10-inning, 1-0 loss yesterday afternoon. Joey Wentz got the start going 6.2 innings with only 1 hit and 7 strikeouts. Kansas City used 9 pitchers with only 1 throwing more than 1 inning. Clemson Tigers were the media selection to win the conference after last week's ACC Media Days. 183 ballots were submitted. Clemson picked first on 167 of them. Miami and SMU were selected second and third, followed by Georgia Tech, Louisville, Duke, FSU, and North Carolina. The MLB trade deadline is today at 4 p.m. Yesterday, Philadelphia acquired reliever Johan Duran from the Twins in return for Eduardo Tate and rookie hurler Mick Abel. The Mets traded 3 minor leaguers for all-star reliever Ryan Helsley and Tyler Rogers from the Giants for 3 developmental players. Hour number 3 coming up.
Are you ready to dive into the stories, stats, and personalities that make baseball the greatest game in the world? Rob Bradford from the Baseballs and Boring podcast here, and we'll have you covered every day with podcasts that bring you closer to the action, from the bleachers to the clubhouse. Whether you're a diehard fan or just a casual observer, these conversations are aimed to educate, entertain, and most importantly, inform you. Follow the Baseballs and Boring podcast in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.